Hey, welcome to the Bruise Line Roadshow Podcast and another installment of our No Place Like Home series. Today we're at Mashcraft Fishers with Andrew Kastner and David, who has no last name.
It's Mashcraft.
David Mashcraft. That's a great name. So guys, I just wanted to first thank you guys for taking some time with us. I want to learn a little bit about the Mashcraft story and how it came, how Mashcraft Fishers came about. So I've got a couple of things to think of. But let's go back, Andrew, to what inspired you to get into the brewery business.
Well, I'm in, I think I'm in about 20 years now in brewing. When I moved back from IU Bloomington to Indianapolis, I got a job at a local brewery in Greenwood. Ended up, as I was actually hired as a server, and then within a couple months ended up in the back as a brewer doing keg cleaning and silly low-end stuff to prove my worth. Over time, stepped up here and there, ended up being the assistant there and then the head brewer at the Ram downtown. So I've always had an entrepreneurship kind of mindset. In fact, my first major in college was business slash entrepreneurship. So when I started to see how the beer business worked at my previous stops, I immediately actually started writing business plans just to see if opportunities could arise. I was then granted with the opportunity around 2012. A random banker that I didn't know came walking into the brewery and sat at the bar that I was working at. And he asked to talk to the brewer. And normally, that's the death note for anybody who's trying to get anything done in the brewery. It turned out that was the big break. His name was John Lee. Still one of our current business partners. Then we met another gentleman named Joe Janik down the road, and he's a business partner as well. And from there, a business plan turned into some revamps and then location searches, and the Mashcraft dream was born. But we knew there was a challenge out there. We knew it was going to be fun, and the big thing was, can we put great beer with great service in great neighborhoods? And if we can do all that, it'll be good.
That sounds like a great plan. So talk to me a little bit about how you ended up here in Fishers.
Well, we actually weren't planning on Fishers. It found us. So we had opened Greenwood in 2014, and then we had actively worked on Mashcraft on Delaware around 2016 time period. It opened it in December of 2016. And at that point, everyone was a little exhausted. It had been two big locations in 2 years, and Mashcraft on Delaware was a fresh from white walls build, which if you've been through that, it's intense. It's everything from bathrooms to kitchens to floor and windows and all that. So that was a little bit daunting. And it was, I think, early 2017. It was shortly after we opened Delaware that a brewery that was at Mashcraft Fishers before under a different name went up for sale. And initially we played it off. We weren't gonna do it. Like I said, everybody was exhausted. And then as we started looking through some of the details, it really fit a lot of the metrics we look for. Again, great neighborhood surrounding it, great access way from different transportation models. Like, it really worked in what we did, and it had a lot of pieces in place to take the next jump into more food, into a bigger set of offerings than we were doing at the other two. So it really screamed at us, and at some point finally we listened and responded and made it happen.
So speaking of Fishers, you know, from your standpoint, what should visitors who come to Fishers, other than knowing there's great beer here, what should they know about Fishers from your standpoint?
Well, the Fishers community is fantastic, and how I saw it, like as you're younger and you're in like the downtown and the Broad Ripple area, and you know, as you get older, as Mashcraft got older, we matured a little bit, and you know, as when you move more north. It seems to be the trend with, you know, people and everything and families. So we, you know, took on more responsibilities, we had bigger plans. And so, yeah, the move to Fishers with the expansion of the kitchen and what it has to offer, yeah, it really kind of excited us. And like the city of Fishers itself, it seems over the last 6 years that we've been here, we've kind of grown with Fishers. The downtown area, that was before the amphitheater, before all the shops in the development, that I felt when we got to Fishers, we were kind of growing at the same time. And so we've, you know, partnered a lot with the city of Fishers. And there, we have found that there's a lot that Fishers has to offer, both to young families, single folk. There is a lot of opportunity. And really, we discover more and more every year that we're here. And yeah, we're happy to be a part of a growing community.
Now, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but give me an idea of the core values and the mission statement of Mashcraft, both here in Fishers and in your other locations.
Yeah, overall, all three locations, Greenwood, downtown Delaware Street, and Fishers, our idea is, and if you've been to all three of our places, you know that all the packages are different. And that's on purpose. We can fit our beer into different models that fit the neighborhoods. And I think we've actually done a really great job of not only doing that initially, but letting it operate independently. We are looking at providing a great environment for community to gather. That can be around food, that can be around beer, whatever it takes. Can you get together within some walls, have a great time, show some smiles, and then head on your way safely.
So David, as we walk into Mashcraft Fishers, what should we expect?
I would hope that you would come in and feel comfortable and feel welcome. That is really a lot what we strive for. We never try to be more than, you know, don't want to be hoity-toity. We don't hold ourselves above anything else. We are really just neighborhood folks who really just like to have some good beer, some good food, and a good time. So at most, I want everyone to feel comfortable and relaxed and like they belong. I think with, you know, with the staff that we put together and the community that we've kind of built here, that's what I hear a lot, is that it's just a really comfortable, welcoming location. And that is top-notch and most important for me and for us here.
Now you definitely made a decision to be family friendly. You know, a lot of breweries, as you said, are sometimes a little bit highbrow, mm-hmm. sometimes definitely adult focused. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that decision to really be more family friendly here at the Fishers location.
For us, it was a no-brainer. Whether you think about it as a community part, you know, we talked about the focus is letting the community gather. Well, the community, especially in our environments surrounding our stores, all three of them, has a very strong family focus. There's a lot of folks there that have, in each of our neighborhoods, that have kids between the ages of 2 and 16. So that made a lot of sense, not only from our mission statement part, but also just from a business perspective, to be open to a lot of that. And once we, you know, were able to get started and show everybody that it can work and it can work for everybody, it just became easy to be able to replicate that.
Okay, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question. Pickleball, whose idea was that?
Not it.
Yeah, so that was more of a Joe baby. So at this location, our northernmost side, we have a patio, and it was part of the parking lot, and we would close it off here and there for different concerts and events and things like that. Then we started talking to building management and everything about the opportunity to close that in and to have that become our space. They were all on board. Fishers was more than on board. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of took off. And so when we took over the space, pickleball, this was now 2 years ago, mm-hmm. Pickleball was still, you know, just kind of growing interest. And people thought it was, you know, like, you know, retirement home, old fogey, was a fogey ball, something like that. But then it really took off. I don't know if Joe had some foresight here, but really it has really opened up a lot of opportunities. One, we work with CCA, the Circle Center Athletics. We have different league nights. We work with the Indy Pickleball Club. It has just brought in a whole different mix of people. And it's a model that has worked with things in other areas. It's fun for all ages, all skill levels. And also, too, we've done more with our patio. So even just watching people play is a trip. It's a lot of fun. So it is really... I honestly will say I was a touch of a naysayer.
I was a naysayer too.
Pickleball. Yeah, no, okay. But gosh, no, for real.
It's more than worked. It's been surprising. It's not only given something for people to actively do while they're enjoying our space. The entertainment value, as you mentioned, is really, really high. And it's also created a bunch of noise for us. Numerous articles and videos and come play pickleball at Mashcraft Fishers. And now, not only have we done it, now, how many other places have you seen in the last year that have dropped pickleball courts on their site since we did it?
Yeah.
Well, so
yeah, I think there's a big development.
Good job, Joe. Give you one thumbs up.
Big development going on. It's going to be like a pickleball mecca, right, at the district. I read something about
it's called Chicken and Pickle. I did some research. They're out of St. Louis. They're going to be coming to the Fishers area over more by the yard and things like that.
Way too crowded. People need to come to Mashcraft.
Oh, yes. Great. No, absolutely.
You can't even park over there.
Come here. But yeah, it was something that, I took a little bit of inspiration looking how they handled their courts and things like that. So, yeah, we did our research. And we did everything we could. We resurfaced the whole area out there. It's quality courts. And we look forward to, I know this summer we have tournaments, both in-house and other things. So we, have definitely learned, and we're going to be growing with the courts and everything.
Well,
so
sounds like Joe might be putting a roof and bubbling it in. Who knows?
Anything's possible.
But we also, in that space too, since we've taken over, that is our personal space, we do outside concerts. We do, we've done things where it's like a farmer's market type deal. Different artists can come gather, set up booths. So it's really just, it's more space as I always say, I like to drink and do stuff, and we got great beer to drink, and now we have more and more things to do.
Check out those outside concerts. Check out at Mashcraft Brews and at Mashcraft Fishers on Facebook. Check out all those events and come join us.
Oh, thanks for doing that. I definitely want folks to come out and see us, whether they're local or whether they're coming from out of town. And as you know, this is called No Place Like Home because yours truly has been here for about 28 years. So let's switch gears for a minute and let's talk a little bit about the beer. So talk to me about your approach to brewing. What are some of the things that you feel are a little bit more unique? Some of the ingredients that may be different, just kind of the Mashcraft stamp on brewing, if you will.
Well, I've always said that one of the things that there's a large opportunity for and that I believe Mashcraft has done really well is to be able to brew with balance. Now, balance doesn't mean mild flavors. It doesn't mean tame. Balance means that even if you have the largest Russian Imperial Stout, your roast, your chocolate components, your caramels, everything rounds out into a nice package. There's not one that blows the others away and you cause it to lose. Not very much. There's no one note elements. There's balance across that creates depth and then overall drinkability at the same time. So that's what we've always talked about. No really crazy core ingredients. One of the things that I want to see as a beer program and that I challenge our brewers with is can we provide a variety that no matter who walks in the front door, they're going to find something they love. And it's going to make them want to come back, which is why we do such a wide range of styles. Here we only have 5 house beers. We don't stack it with 12 beers that are 6 New Englands and 3 other West Coast IPAs. We have 5 house beers, a Gold Red IPA, Last Light and Jamaica Joe. Everything else rotates. Belgians, barrel aged, sours. We're going to have an alt beer tapping coming up. Russian Imperial Stouts. We want to do everything under the sun that allows large amount of variety, but also if we can tap new things consistently, when people come back a week later, the tap lineup looks different. It's not a static setup that causes you to get bored.
Oh, speaking of beer.
Perfect timing.
I think there's some coming along here.
Thanks, babe.
For those of you listening at home, a delicious flight has just reached the table.
Theater of the mind, and now of the taste buds. Go ahead, David, tell us what we got in front of us.
We have a little bit of everything. As Andrew was saying, it is, there's also balance as far as like variety. Like there's a little bit of something for everyone. It's not ever too IPA heavy. It's not ever too this, that. And it starts with the House 5, as he said. The Gold, which we've included here, I always kind of call it the gateway craft beer. So when people come in and, we ask, what you normally drink, and they give us, something lighter, something this, something that. It's not as something that we kind of start them off with. The Gold is just super clean. It's a nice blonde ale. And again, it's a gateway craft beer. So you dip in with that one, and then, you get into your reds, and then you get into this, and then you kind of see how you like hops. And so it really, we can take you on quite a journey as far as beer is concerned. So in front of us, as again, we have our Gold. We have our Last Light, which is another house beer. Last Light, one of our most popular as well. It is a blood orange IPA. And I would have to say it's a it's a standard. It's a solid, solid.
I am reaching for it now.
Yeah. It is something, you know, when we do the beer tours, when we have people come in, it is something that we offer first. I feel it's something that we're very proud of, and I know that it is something that people really enjoy. You know, there's others, there's lots of different breweries, and people make all sorts of beer. It's a solid beer, and having it as one of our house beers is fantastic.
Well, I'm just going to make sure spoiler alert, I have tried it many times.
Yes. Last light, you say.
Hey. I will dabble. 10 out of 10.
You know. And one of the things we do with the Roadshow is we're not about rating beers because we all have different palates, right?
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So David could love something and Andrew, you might not think it's so great and I might not want to go near it. So mm-hmm. What we're doing and what you guys are doing a great job today and I thank you for is trying to get people to understand the environment, mm-hmm. the business side of it, mm-hmm. and the story. So if you can, tell me some of the challenges you've had as a brewery business owner.
The challenges are numerous. You know, when you
do you remember COVID?
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember that?
That was
a big one. No, the challenges are numerous. When you run a small business, and a lot of us have dabbled. In fact, I think all three of us here have done it at some point. Your challenges range everywhere from supplies to HR to marketing. You do everything. That's probably one of the biggest challenges. For us, really, it comes down to twofold. One of them from a business perspective, and that's to make sure that you stay on the front edge in what is a pretty crowded market. We don't see ourselves as just in a crowded brewery market, which some can make the argument that tap rooms in Indianapolis are a little crowded. I wouldn't say really go that far yet. But, you know, we're now in a status where we compete with restaurants. So when you get into that realm and you start competing against other places people can eat, then you're definitely in a crowded area. So from Mashcraft perspective is how can we make sure that we're putting the best products out there and the best service to be able to compete? And then from an ownership perspective, how can we make sure that everyone that's on our team has the tools they need to be able to do things efficiently and successfully? So those are the things when you look at the current challenges that go forward. Luckily, we don't have the 2020 stuff anymore and we don't have build-out phase. Build-out phase was a list of challenges I don't even want to get back into without going into nightmare phase. Those kind of things are just difficult. Ongoing as we become, you know, an established and more an older company, it's those two things I just hit on that will determine our success.
Well, you brought up team members and you brought up staff. Mm-hmm. What are some of the qualities and skills, David, when you're bringing folks in? Andrew, when you're hiring, other than trying to keep David in line, I know that was, you know, a miss on your part.
We just give him a list he can't possibly handle, so, and then he keeps coming back every day to try to keep up.
So that's a great strategy.
Just tasting my tail.
And then occasionally we'll look at him and he'll be like, and we're like, all right, we got to back off David for a day.
Give him a beer. Give him a beer.
And then I find him at the golf course down the street. All kidding aside, what are some of those qualities you're looking for in people that join the Mashcraft team?
With the interview process, there's always the phone thing. You get a sense, like a spark. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be the most knowledgeable beer person in the world. They don't have to know everything. You can learn that stuff. You can get there with that. And even like wait staff experience, again, you can learn that stuff. But being a quality person, just a spark, some life, really like engaging. We have a bar full of regulars. Someone who can like just talk to people. It sounds weird, but it's harder than it looks sometimes. You go to places where there's, just go and you have staff that, you know, there's a disconnect or something like that. We try not to have that. But we just like a spark, kind of a lust for life. Somebody with something going on else in their lives too. Mm-hmm. Just real people who like to have real conversations. The beer stuff will come. Mm-hmm. Quality people who usually are on the chatty side.
And I like how he made a great point of you can just tell. There's a certain jovialness, there's a certain connection that you can get, even though the person sitting across who is looking for a gig and you're looking for a person, you are strangers. But there's just that, they've got that thing that can allow you to make a quicker connection. That's what's gonna be enabled with the person who just walked in for the first time. That's going to kick in when that person greets them.
No, absolutely. And it's so critical. You know, as you said, all three of us as business owners, it's so critical to have those people representing you properly, right?
Absolutely.
David, I want to talk a little bit about some things that are coming up in Fishers. You mentioned that you guys are very active in the community. I've seen you all around town with the truck.
Not just this town. Let me do all the towns.
You do work him a bit.
A little bit.
2 years ago, we transformed an old AT&T utility vehicle into a rolling mashcraft, and it has been amazing. So it is a pretty self-contained unit. Joe and I put in a lot of hard work and personal labor into this to make it kind of what it is. We can roll up with that with 6 taps ready to go. It is a rolling party, and it has really opened us up to do a lot of different things. Immediately, when we first started here in Fishers, we got involved with the city itself. We would do events everywhere. We did the old jockey box and lugging things everywhere. It was a little cumbersome. This truck has just opened everything up to just be so easy. We do all the concerts at the amphitheater. We started doing those with them years ago, and that relationship has built and grown. We do stuff over at AgriPark, in all seasons. We do all seasons of everything now, actually. We do winter stuff, we do all throughout, and again, our promotional vehicle makes it so much easier to do that, and I think we can bring a better product to people. So not only here in Fishers, but we've taken that, we've done concerts in Carmel and Noblesville, different events. And so we are wide open to a variety of things. And we just are doing a Shamrock Drop thing that we just did. So the opportunities kind of keep coming, and we're here for all of them, really.
Well, no, and that's a big part. One of the big things I think about the craft brewery industry is it really does anchor to the communities that people serve. I mean, there's some, let's just call them big kind of craft brewers out there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when we see the craft beer industry and we see where they're located, they are getting involved in the community. And that's a big thing. And certainly here in Fishers, tons of opportunity, right?
Yeah. That's especially true for us, though, because we don't package much. You don't see our cans in liquor stores. You don't see us on tap at a lot of other bars. We are hyper-focused on a 3 to 5 mile radius around each of our stores because of that.
So let's talk about some of the plans for the future. We're kind of sitting in one right now.
Yeah, we are definitely in the midst of another expansion. So it seems like every 2 years we kind of get a little itch and
tear down a wall.
We tear down a few walls. So we were fortunate enough to have an opportunity to expand our dining room, our event space. We've dedicated a full ladies' room. You're welcome, ladies. And that to go along with creating more storage, which then was going to open up our kitchen, which is going to lead to an expansion of our kitchen to help provide more wonderful food and opportunities for all these new faces. So we are our third build out on the inside and then our pickleball outside. So we've definitely made ourselves comfortable in this plaza. I know over the years it's kind of been a little bit of everything. We have people come in and like, I remember this place was a pizza place, or this was a Mexican place, or this was the... So we've definitely dug our heels in. We dig Fishers. And I really do hope, and I do have a feeling that I think Fishers kind of digs us.
I would say that's been the experience that I've had.
It really, and I go back to like us growing together because like when we first got to Fishers again, the downtown area was like it was a mess a bit. I mean, there was plans to grow in this, and we've done all of the Freedom Fest and the Spark Fishers and all these things, you know, since they kind of reinvented and started doing them. And so we have grown, and we know all the people at the Parks Department and all the Fishers folk. We work a lot with them, and it's really been a great relationship. Fishers is fantastic. No, it's really fun. And it's a great community.
There may be a PR job in your future. we'll just have to talk to City Hall about that.
Snip that part and put in the commercials.
I want to talk a little bit more about, how do you measure your success? How do you define success? You've given us lots of points throughout this conversation, but how do you define that impact?
Well, I mean, you can get into a ton of metrics. You can get lost in the details on, you know, where was this particular trackable at this year relative to the last 3 year trend rate. You can get into all that if you want. But one of the best ways, multiple best ways to do that, is just watch the way people move around your spaces. Are they smiling? Are they actively moving? Are they looking around bored? If we can see people smiling and then we see them come back, then it's a success. You know, you can get into tracking, you know, your zip codes of your credit cards and where are your people coming from. Your POS systems behind the bar will allow you to do that if you really want to. But if people are in on a Monday and they have a blast and they're back on a Friday, you're doing all right.
Yeah, no better metric. Couple more questions. Favorite baseball team?
That would be the New York Metropolitans.
I just saw Citi Field off the plane this weekend.
And Andrew? Andrew, you're
Chicago Cubs.
Chicago Cubs. I'm a White Sox person. Grew up in Chicago, but somebody had to root for the South Side.
All three of the teams are represented here in our sports event room right
there. Oh, I noticed that. Oh, and I do see the White Sox pennant up there. Thank you, gentlemen. Don't see that one very often. Hockey team?
Penguins.
Zero. I don't do hockey.
We got to break them in, don't we?
Actually, I didn't know that.
Don't do hockey.
Okay, now there's a big one. We're in a town that actually
throw the mic.
We're in a town that actually has a team, but I'm going to go out on a limb. Football team.
I'm Colts. Season ticket holder.
Yeah, lifelong Steelers fan.
Something tells me this guy spent some time in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Well, and the goofy part about that is, you know, the places that he's lived, he's like picked up a different team consistently. So his team ranges. I mean, do you leave the Eastern Seaboard? Does it go across all the way across the country?
No, it's pretty much, just East Coast. Yeah, I moved around a lot growing up.
Yeah.
And, sort of got attached to different things. But, graduated out of the Pittsburgh area.
Side, I want to go one back to one more thing on the brewing side. You know, a lot of people have this vision. They're a home brewer, and then they want to move to a commercial brewery. What advice would you give them?
Make sure you set your expectations properly. So one of the things that if you're not terribly experienced in a particular industry, you will get lost focusing in the 5% that have had extreme success. You have to understand that that's not normal. That 5% is that 5% for a reason. There is another 95%. You hope that you're in the 65% below that and not the bottom third. Just make sure that if you're gonna make the jump, that you have the proper expectations, not only financially, but also for your time. If there's anything in that brewery or in the kitchen or in the bathrooms or in the dining room that you don't wanna do, then don't open the place, because you will end up doing every one of those things 100 times over in the first just 3 years before you're able to replace yourself with other people who can do those things and maybe help you from time to time. So yeah, it's all about expectations. And I see a lot of financial mistakes and money that can be used more intelligently elsewhere around the dream of craft beer. Just make sure that you know what you're getting into. I'm not saying it's not doable. I just want to make sure that everybody knows where they're going.
Yeah, kind of a take your time and know what you're getting
into. Yeah, if you're prepared for it. I mean, there's folks that have come post-boom that they're toughing it out and they're doing a great job. And whether they knew they're getting into it or not, they have done it and they're persevering. Just make sure you're ready for the worst part. The best part will come. You'll taste your beer on tap and you'll be like, I did that. But right after that, you'll clean a toilet and mop a floor.
I have another question for you.
Yeah, it's more than beer.
David, I have another very important question for you because I have not checked. Is the fried bologna still on the menu?
Oh, boy.
So, talk about going out on a bang.
Yeah. Well.
See what happened was.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no. It was a bit of a niche item.
For 5 years.
Yes. And I held on it. We've done a couple menu revamps over the years, and I went to bat for it a couple times. It was not a top seller, but the people who loved it, usually old guys. I used to have this when I was little. But They loved it, but unfortunately, it did not make the last cut.
So,
but it was replaced by a delicious patty melt burger. Mm. It's very, very
so good. What you're saying is basically me and a couple other old guys, and you ate a lot of extra bologna.
I did. But yes, unfortunately, yeah, it did not make the cut. It's definitely something that we could see coming back around for a special, and I will reach out and
put the bologna on a burger and then make a special out of it.
Dave's.
But while we're talking about food in Fisher's, shout out has to go to Lisa, our chef, who absolutely kills it. She has for the last 2 years now, correct? Yep. Just absolutely held down for it and made some fantastic, not only across the board food, but her burger specials every month are must-see items.
Yeah, we have so much fun with that.
Get in here and try those burger specials with some fries. And
as long as there's some bologna on it.
Special order.
Hey, gentlemen, I want to thank you for being our guests today, and thank you for all you do for the Fisher's community. Mm-hmm. Cheers.
Thank you.